Chapter 9. Darcy. I lay on my bed, reading over the notes from the day on my atlas. My air elemental class had been incredible. Professor Perseus had brought us to the cliff at the eastern edge of air territory, and we'd cast wind down onto the turquoise sea. Eventually, I'd been able to direct it at specific waves and send the spray flying up the side of the cliff. So much power was difficult to harness precisely, but he'd seemed content to let us unleash everything we had on the ocean. I was still buzzing with the excitement of it all, but as 7 o'clock neared, my excitement finally gave way to nerves. I had my first session with Professor Orion tonight, and I was still reeling after seeing him bite Diego without a care in the middle of his classroom. What if he tries that with me? I brushed my fingers together, a light breeze dancing between them. After releasing the full force of my power on the sea, I felt slightly more confident, but I didn't fancy my chances up against an opponent yet, especially one who had razor-sharp teeth and was built like a fortress. I picked up the banana I'd grabbed from the orb earlier, wishing I'd taken something more substantial now. Tori and I had plans to meet up after my liaison session anyway, so I'd survive. When I'd finished my fruit, I changed into my sports kit in favor of my uniform, which I'd been in all day. There was nothing else to wear, and I half wondered about that stipend Orion had mentioned. If he'd been more frank back at our apartment, I could have brought some more clothes with me. I tugged on my Converses at 6:45 and slung my satchel over my shoulder. My heart was bouncing with anxiety as I headed out of my room, locking it before jogging toward the stairwell. The tower was quiet, and I suspected most of the air students were hanging out in the common room upstairs or eating at the orb. As I circled down to the ground floor, a ping sounded from my atlas. I took it out, finding a notification flashing up on it. "You've been mentioned in a Facebook post, Darcy." I frowned, tapping on the app, even though I imagined I was about to regret it. "Kylie Major. Great first day. I am so blessed to be here at CA. It must be harder for girls like Darcy and Tori. They don't even have basic coercion defense. Be careful out on campus, girls. #love ya. #be safe. #girlsticktogether. Comments. Lois Hargreaves. Not even a basic shield? Jillian Minor. OMG, hun, you are so sweet. Smiley face. Yawande Rubel. Are you really going steady with Seth Capella, Kylie? Milton Hubert.
Yes!
I bit into my cheek so hard I almost drew blood. Everyone in the entire academy would see this, and over 100 people had already liked it. It was practically painting a neon target on our heads, and I didn't have a single doubt that Kylie knew exactly what she was doing. Girl code my ass. I glanced over my shoulder, feeling overly cautious of being pounced on. Being in Orion's office suddenly didn't seem like the worst fate in the world. I checked the map, heading out of the tower onto the grounds. Iron lanterns lit the path as the evening drew in, and I quickened my pace along it as I took a shortcut through the wailing wood. The winding path led me into the trees, and a cool wind gusted over me as I stepped onto a dirt track. Goosebumps bristled along my arms. The further I walked, the quieter the world seemed. The leaves rustled above me, some of them licked with the first colors of fall. The deeper I delved into the woodland, the closer the trees seemed to gather, arching overhead to create an endless tunnel before me. The lanterns had become more sparse, and the amber glow of the next one seemed to shrink and flicker up ahead. Should have taken the longer route. This place is creepy as hell. My foot caught on a root and I stumbled, nearly hitting the ground before catching myself at the last second. I muttered curses at myself as I hurried on, wanting to get out of this place without a couple of scuffed knees. Honestly, I should have grown out of it by now, but I fell over more times in a week than was normal for a toddler, let alone a grown woman. I took the atlas from my satchel, double-checking the way, and found a Facebook message waiting for me. "Falling Star. The shadow draws closer to you, Darcy. Stay in the light." My heart thrashed in my chest as I reread the words. Who the hell was this falling star, and what was that supposed to mean? I ignored the twisting sensation in my gut and checked the map. The paths had forked a few times, but luckily I'd stayed on track. Forcing Falling Star's eerie message from my mind, I continued on. As I arrived at the circular glow cast by the next lantern, I tilted the map, and a little star blinked, marking my spot amongst the thick wood. Relief filled me as I realized that I was nearing the exit. Then it was a straight shot right up to Jupiter Hall, where Orion's office was located. A twig cracked somewhere behind me, and I stiffened, turning to stare out into the darkness beyond the ring of light around me. I squinted at the shadows between the trees, and my heart pattered wildly in my chest. "It's nothing. Keep walking." As much as I didn't want to leave the illusion of safety in the light of the lantern, I forced myself to move, quickening my pace to a half jog. A shiver darted up my spine, and the sense of being watched cascaded over me like ice-cold water. Footsteps padded along the path behind me, soft and swift, as if someone were trying to remain quiet. I spun around as fear lodged a jagged lump in my throat. It was probably just another student. Why was I getting so terrified over a few shadows and noises? Falling Star's message had unnerved me, but they were probably just trying to mess with me too. I had to rise above it. A flash of blue light made me freeze, every muscle in my body becoming a solid thing. It had only been for a moment, but for a second, I thought I'd seen a hulking form out there in the trees, deep in the woods, a beast. Everyone in the school is a beast. It's just a student, just someone in one of their order forms. I tried to steady my rampant heart, telling myself I was overreacting. But something in my gut told me I should be afraid. A force of energy crashed into me from behind, and a pitchy scream escaped me as I hit the ground, rolling over and holding up a hand in defense. "Get away!" I yelled, the dark silhouette shifting closer. Fire flared in his palm, and Darius came into view with a wide smirk on his face.
"Whoops. Didn't see you there, Vega."
He held out a hand with a deep chuckle. I took it rather reluctantly, still shaking. "Was that you out there trying to scare me?" I demanded as he pulled me to my feet.
"Out where?"
he asked lazily, releasing my hand to sweep his fingers through his dark hair. "Over there." I pointed into the trees, shifting toward Darius, unable to help clinging to the comfort of company. But after what he'd done to Tori, I was far from trusting him.
"Don't know what you're talking about,"
he said lightly.
"See ya."
He went to move and I caught his arm, which was firm with muscle beneath my fingers, my pride dissolving before my eyes. "Would you mind, maybe, just walking me out of the woods?" Shame washed through me, but I did not like this place one bit, and the idea of getting turned around in here when I'd seen some huge beast sniffing about didn't appeal to me, even if my girl power had to take a significant hit. Darius snorted.
"You scared, Vega?"
"No," I said indignantly, giving away that I absolutely was. I cleared my throat. "I just don't want to get lost in here. I've got a meeting with Professor Orion in 5 minutes.
"Pfft, he'll be late anyways. You're not in any hurry."
He tried to shake me off, but I held on tight. I sucked up the last of my pride like a Hoover and said, "Please." He sighed heavily, then turned around and yanked me along at a fierce pace. I didn't care. I just wanted to be planted outside of these woods and move on with my life. Right now, it felt like I was never going to escape the darkness and the feeling of being hunted. And Darius might have been an asshole, but I was happy to use him in my moment of need.
"Bro!"
A voice howled, then Seth burst out of the darkness wearing a white sports kit, splashed with mud. The symbol of air was stamped on the chest of his shirt, which was half torn off of him.
"Who's your date?"
He stepped closer, then scowled as he realized it was me.
"Don't tell me you're hanging out with a Vega."
I ground my jaw, not needing this right now. An orb of golden light lit up above Seth and floated there to illuminate us all.
"She's scared,"
Darius said in a dry tone that sent embarrassment washing through me.
"I'm not scared," I insisted, but I sounded more like a child than an adult with her shit together.
Damn it. Seth's eyes lit up, and he clawed a hand through his unkempt hair. He looked as happy as if Christmas Day had come early. Seth moved toward us, petting Darius's arm, then moving forward to nuzzle my hair with his face. I lurched sideways. Damn animal.
I'll walk you out, babe.
He clutched my arm, trying to steer me away from Darius. I looked to the fire air for any semblance of mercy in his eyes, but he gave me nothing but a cold stare.
Wait,
he said with a dangerous smile as Seth tried to guide me away under his arm.
She needs to give me a proper goodbye first.
Seth shoved me toward Darius with a laugh, and Darius smiled cruelly.
Kneel,
he commanded, using coercion on me, and I winced as his order claimed my body. I dropped to the ground before him, cursing his name between my teeth.
Kiss my foot.
He barked a laugh as my back bent, and I grimaced as I tried to force myself to stop. My mouth met his fancy shoe, and I rued the moment I'd asked this twisted asshole for help. Why can't I just be more like Tori with her unwavering backbone? Seth laughed raucously.
Let's make her dance for us, he said eagerly. Max and Caleb should be here any second. They'll lose it when they see her doing the cha-cha-cha.
My heart hammered angrily. Don't you dare. Darius took my arm, dragging me to my feet with a vicious smile.
I have a better idea.
Get off of me, I snapped, trying to pull away. My heart stumbled as I stared into the fiery pit of excitement in his eyes. He released me, and I glanced between him and Seth, their beautiful faces dancing with shadows under the glowing orb above. Falling Star's message circled in my head. The shadow draws closer, but it must have been a coincidence. Seth licked his lips, and the sight was so sexual, I couldn't help but stare at his mouth for a second.
Run,
Darius ordered, and my legs moved before I realized what was happening. Seth howled his excitement behind me as I tore away along the path. I moved as fast as I could, my arms wheeling back and forth beside me, half glad Darius had told me to run because I'd always been quick, and he may have just unknowingly given me an advantage. Their footsteps pounded behind me, and fear sliced into my belly as I started to doubt my chances against them. What are they going to do if they catch me? Lights twinkled through the trees, the promise of the main campus lying just at the edges of this never-ending path. My heart pounded, and sweat poured down my back. My hands suddenly heated with power, and the wind skipped between my fingers. I focused on it as Professor Perseus had taught me and guided it toward my back. The air was suddenly my greatest ally, driving me forward at a tremendous speed. A whoop of excitement escaped me as the end of the path came in sight. I was almost there. I was gonna win. 20 feet. 10. 5. Two figures darted into my way, and I crashed into them at full force. The scent of something sharp and deadly hit my senses as Caleb's arms wrapped around me, steadying me.
Whoa there, horsey.
He pushed my hair back from my neck, and his eyes sparkled with hunger. Oh no. I backed up and bumped into Max with a sickening lurch of my stomach. I had to crane my neck to look up at him, his height immense, and his mohawk adding an extra couple of inches.
Out for a moonlit stroll?
He asked, his voice deep and probing, like it was trying to draw something intimate out of me. Darius and Seth came to a halt before us, and I was suddenly surrounded, a deer at the end of four hunters' guns. My hands curled into fists as I tried to keep control of the breeze around me, praying it would be enough to keep them back. But deep down, I knew I was royally screwed. Let me past, I demanded in my strongest voice, stepping toward Caleb, who was firmly in my way. He pushed me back, and another set of hands steadied me from behind. Seth's arms curled around my shoulders like he was hugging me. His mouth ran over my ear, and a deep heat mixed with the fear in my belly to create a deadly cocktail. He rubbed his rough chin against my temple, and I tilted my head sideways to try and avoid his overt touches. I need to go, I growled. I have a meeting with Professor Orion.
Orion,
Caleb snarled, snatching my arm and tugging me out of Seth's arms into his again.
Is he getting blood from you already? Private meetings just for you and his teeth, huh?
He opened his mouth, baring his fangs, and a gasp escaped me as I shoved him back, trying to will air into my palms. A sharp gust slammed into his chest, and he released me with a grunt. I glanced over his shoulder, ready to try and escape this circle of hell. Caleb scowled.
Lucky for you, I filled up on your sister earlier.
I made my move, darting for the gap that had opened up between Caleb and Max. As one, they closed in, surrounding me in a tight circle of muscle and heated man bodies.
Power of four,
Max suggested with a grin, leaning toward me and making my heart stutter.
Brilliant idea. That'll stop Orion feeding from her tonight,
Caleb said eagerly. What the hell are you... Before I could finish that sentence, Max raised his hands and water fell down on me in a torrential rain shower, soaking me from head to foot. My white t-shirt turned transparent, and I raised my hands to cover myself, my breath halting in shock. Caleb wielded the ground beneath my feet, and mud splashed up around me in a ring. I was suddenly caked in freezing cold sludge, and my heart was screaming with rage and embarrassment. I wiped the back of my hand over my eyes to try and remove the filth, my pulse hammering in my ears. As I regained my sight, I found Darius and Seth side by side before me. Seth blew a harsh wind over the top of a fire burning in Darius's palms. The combined effect was like being blasted in an oven, and I gasped in horror as the sticky substance coating me dried to a hard, impenetrable second skin. No, no, no! I clawed at it, but it wouldn't budge. My hair hung in thick chunks, and my face felt like it had been pasted with the biggest mud pack ever. Argh! I shouted in fury, a fire in my veins. Get this off of me! A flash of light told me a photo was being taken, then they all fell about laughing. After a few more seconds, they tore away from me into the woodland, their hysterics carrying back to me. I trembled as I stood there, so angry I didn't know what to do with myself. I picked at the compacted mud on my arms, but it wouldn't budge. Tears of embarrassment stung my eyes as I realized what I had to do. I stomped toward the edge of the woodland like a swamp monster, emerging onto the pathway that led up to the ring of buildings surrounding the orb. A group of girls were heading my way, their conversation falling dead on their lips as they spotted me walking toward them. The word embarrassment was not even close to what I felt right then. Is that an order? One of them murmured.
No, I think it's a Vega,
another said in glee, snatching her atlas out to take a picture.
Make a sound like a donkey, a girl commanded, her eyes alight with mischief.
The coercion washed over me, and I slapped a hand to my mouth to try and stop the noise escaping. It tore free of my lips, and a shameful and horrifyingly loud "Eeyaw!" burst from my lips. I ran past them as their laughter poured over me. Embarrassment stabbed at my cheeks as I desperately tried to avoid more photo ops, making a beeline for Jupiter Hall as I cupped my hands over my head. Just keep running. Don't stop.
Mud monster!
A boy shouted at me as he exited the orb, and the girls around him ran about screaming and giggling. Tears burned my eyes as I was consumed by the utter shame of the situation. And the worst was yet to come, because I had to ask goddamn Professor Hot as Shit Orion to help me while looking like the beast from the bog. Inside Jupiter Hall, I found my way to his office by following a long corridor. I clutched the door handle and hesitated for several long seconds. Please swallow me up, ground. That would be really great right now. I turned the handle, but found the door locked. I frowned, pulling my atlas out to check the time. I was 5 minutes late, so where the hell was he? Had he given up waiting already?
I hope that's not a fashion choice, Miss Vega.
Professor Orion appeared in jeans and a white shirt, his hair damp as if he'd just showered.
It's all right for some.
His obsidian eyes dragged down me from head to toe, and his mouth pulled up at one side, revealing the dimple in his right cheek. Oh, yes. I just love rolling in mud in the evenings, I deadpanned, trying my best to front this out, but it was pretty hard when all I could see in my periphery was clumps of mud. He stepped right into my breathing space, pushing his key into the door. He headed inside, leaving the door open for me to follow, and I trailed in after him, feeling like an ogre in a ballroom as I took in his lavish office. A crescent moon desk built from cherry wood sat at the heart of it, behind which was an archway of shelves filled with leather-bound books. A closed door in the arch stopped me from nosing any further in that direction, so I stared around at the rest of the room. The tall window to my left looked over the orb, and the sound of laughter and conversation carried through the cracked open window. I was almost certain I heard someone mention my name and pig shit in the same sentence. A ping from my atlas told me all I needed to know. My photo was now live and waiting for me on Facebook for the entire school to see. My insides withered and died. I stood awkwardly on a deep crimson rug as Orion dropped into his large ottoman chair, pulling something from a cupboard in his desk. He placed a crystal glass on the surface, followed by a large bottle of bourbon. I guess Falling Star's assessment about him was true. He continued to ignore me as he poured himself a measure, then sat back in his chair, tipping the contents down his throat. He smacked his lips, placing the glass down and moving to refill it. "Excuse me?" I interrupted his rudeness. Orion's eyes flicked up.
"Yes?"
"Well, it's just that apparently I'm standing in your office looking like a swamp monster and watching you get drunk."
"That does appear to be happening, yes. Very observant, Blue. Or perhaps I should call you Brown now?"
He nearly choked on his laughter at his own joke. God, this guy was a piece of work. I placed my hands on my hips, and he tried to rein in his laughter as he stared at me. He did not manage it. "Right. Screw this." I marched toward the door, done with this day and every bastard I'd encountered during it. How could I have thought for one second that this teacher would help me? I had to remember the faculty in Zodiac were as heartless as the students. As I grabbed the door handle, the mud on my skin heated with a punishing warmth. I winced as it was scraped off of me inch by inch, then washed away by a stream of water that wrapped around my skin like a film. The combined magic dragged the mud from my flesh, and it sailed right out of the window. Relief swept through me as my body was cleaned of the muck, and my hair fell about me in a soft fan of blue and black. As I turned to Orion to thank him, a harsh wind forced me back against the door. I had to shut my eyes against the onslaught of air, and my heart raced as I was held in place. When the wind died away, I blinked a few times and found Orion standing before me. The scent of bourbon floated from him. He was frighteningly tall, and all those muscles made me weak. But he was still just another asshole with a pretty face. "Thank you," I forced out.
"Your gratitude isn't what I want."
He snatched my arm, and in one single heartbeat, I knew what he was going to do. My thoughts went haywire, and my body tumbled into panic mode. Before I realized what I was doing, my hand smashed against his face, and a loud clap filled the room. Oh, holy shit. I just slapped a teacher. The moment following my strike lasted for two whole eternities. Orion stared at me, and I stared right back. His cheek was pinking with the imprint of my hand, and he lifted his fingers to touch the mark, as if he was unsure whether it had actually happened. My tongue was a desperately dry lump of flesh, but I managed to speak in a hoarse voice. "Don't bite me." He leaned down so he was nose to nose with me, and the heavenly scent of cinnamon sailed from his skin, tangling with the sharpness of bourbon on his breath. His lips pursed, and all amusement fled from his expression.
"How are you going to stop me?"
he asked as if he genuinely wanted an answer out of me. I suddenly felt like I was in a quiz. I took a slow breath, the proximity of him making my thoughts harder to grasp than usual. "I know how to wield air. I can push you back."
"Are you sure about that?"
He shifted closer, opening his mouth to reveal the sharp points of his fangs. I shook my head. "Honestly, no. But I'm asking you not to, and I'm telling you I'll try to fight you if you do." My voice barely quavered, and I gave myself a mental pat on the back, considering the night I'd had. Small victories and all. Orion stepped away, a thoughtful glint in his eyes. I tried to move around him, but he snatched my arm and sliced his fangs into my skin. I gasped in horror, bringing up my other hand as I tried to will magic into my fingers. But I couldn't focus, and the second my hand got close, he slammed it against the door behind me. The hard plane of his chest flattened me to the wood, and I winced as his bite deepened, my heart hammering like a rabbit's. A draining feeling tugged at my insides, and power flowed in a channel toward my wrist. My magic was being taken from me, swallowed by this ruthless creature. His hands on me were unyielding, and as hard as I concentrated, I couldn't conjure so much as a gentle breeze against him. Now he was drinking from me. He seemed to have my power in his grasp, and it was all moving toward him, the well inside me emptying out. He released me at last, and my head spun, darkness momentarily curtaining my vision. A stream of the vilest swear words in my vocabulary swarmed through my head as I clutched the two bloody pinpricks on my wrist. Orion gave me an even stare.
"Everything in Solaria is about power, Miss Vega. Don't forget that. Everyone takes what they want. It's our way. And if you don't start taking it yourself, you're going to fail at this academy before you've even attempted to pass the reckoning."
My heart pounded out of rhythm as his words sank in. I am Fae, and I need to embrace the darkest part of me if I'm ever going to survive here. Orion sailed away from me, dropping into his chair with a satisfied sigh.
"Sit down."
He gestured to the seat opposite him. My heart crumpled with frustration as I moved to take the chair, refusing to show him how rattled I was. Part of me wanted to run back to my room and hide under a blanket, but that wasn't exactly constructive or dignified. I eyed the ends of my hair, the blue tips feathery and smooth since Orion had essentially put me through a car wash with his elements of air and water. I suppose I had something to thank him for, though he'd taken plenty in return for it. He poured himself another glass of bourbon and I frowned. "Isn't this supposed to be a lesson?"
"Nope. I'm supposed to be providing guidance for you, but I'm doing so on my time. And on my time, I like to have a drink, so here we are."
"Right," I said through tight lips. "So what exactly am I going to learn here while you're enjoying yourself?"
"Trust me, I'm not enjoying myself."
He planted his glass down, giving me a hard stare.
"Hand,"
he commanded, and both of my hands curled up in refusal. He half rolled his eyes.
"Don't make me coerce you. It's rather draining, and I just added a nice chunk to my own power."
"You mean you sucked out my magic like a mosquito?"
"Sure,"
he shrugged.
"Whatever colorful analogy soothes you."
He grinned, sipping his drink slower this time.
"Hand, come on. We've only got 40 more minutes of my life to waste."
I pressed my lips together, thrusting my right hand at him.
"Flat on the desk, palm up,"
he instructed, and I did so.
"Is this your dominant hand?"
I nodded.
"Good. I'm going to do an assessment."
"What kind of assessment?" I asked.
"Of your power."
"Okay."
"Don't move. And don't giggle. For the love of the sun, I hate the gigglers."
He took my hand, and heat stroked my veins as he brushed his fingertips over my palm. It tickled like hell, and laughter bit at my throat. He glanced up at me, as if judging whether I was going to be one of his hated gigglers. I gave him a straight face, refusing to let it out. He traced his thumb across the line at the center of my palm, and my skin tingled with sensitivity. Heat dug a needy pit at the base of my stomach, and I tried my absolute best to ignore it. Why are the hot ones always jerks?
"In palmistry, mortals usually have four lines on their palms."
Orion pointed them out from top to bottom.
"Heart, head, life, and fate. Fae, however, have a fifth line, a power line."
He pressed his thumb to the middle of my palm again, and I shifted in my seat as my body reacted much too keenly toward Professor Asshole. Curiosity got the better of me, and I leaned in closer to see the line he was pointing out. It stretched right across my palm and had little prongs running off of it.
"Most Fae have shorter lines here."
He rolled his hand over, showing me his palm, and I noticed that on his wrist, he had the triangular symbol of air tattooed there.
"Mine extends 2/3 of the way. Yours, however, is a complete line."
He gave me a once-over, and I sensed he was somehow angry about that, but I couldn't understand why.
"The strength of each particular element is defined by these intersecting lines."
He plucked a small ruler off of his desk and laid it on my palm. He fell into a rhythm as he noted down the length of each line, working across my palm. The brush of his rough fingers and the repetitive movements were making me heady, and I tried to focus on anything else in the room besides his touch. Orion eventually released me, and a breath of relief passed my lips. He started jotting down numbers on his pad, totaling up those he'd written down, doing some complicated calculations. Finally, he had four numbers underlined at the bottom of the page. 7, 8, 9, and 10.
These are your power rankings.
His eyes were dark as he pushed the numbers in front of me.
10 is the strongest you can be in any element. To put it in perspective, Miss Vega, even a 7 is considered high.
I stared at the numbers in awe, unable to believe what he was saying, that I was this powerful in a world that had been a mystery to me forever.
Your weakest element is fire, although I use the word weak very loosely. You're an 8 in earth, a 9 in water, and a 10 in air.
A breath got trapped in my lungs as I glanced up at him, trying to comprehend all of this. And we're this powerful because our parents were royal? The king and queen? It sounded so mad coming from my own tongue. But that was what everyone kept telling us, that we were essentially princesses.
Yes, your father was the most powerful fey in Solaria. He held 3 elements, fire, water, and air. Your mother had just 1 element, air. She was a Gemini like you and was named the most beautiful woman in Solaria. That was after he returned with her from a faraway land his army had invaded. King Vega married her, disregarding tradition. The powerful families tend to breed with their own kind. It keeps bloodlines pure and usually produces offspring of the same orders. The purer the line, the more powerful their magic.
And not doing that is bad? I asked, trying to understand.
No, just foolish. Their children are more likely to be weaker. But that is clearly not the case with you and your sister. Your mother and father have produced 2 of the most powerful fae to ever walk in our world.
He leaned back in his chair, swilling the amber nectar in his glass. What were they? I breathed, wishing I had someone more reassuring to discuss this with, but he was all I had. What were their orders? For a moment, I was almost certain an ounce of pity entered his eyes, but it fizzled away just as fast.
Your mother was a harpy, and your father was a hydra.
My skin prickled at the mention of a hydra. My Greek mythology knowledge came pretty much entirely from Disney's Hercules, but that serpentine beast had stuck in my head. Hydra? I whispered, my blood chilling. Like the monster with multiple heads? Oh, God, please don't let me be one of them.
Yes,
he said quietly.
They are one of the rarest orders in the world.
I took a slow breath as I tried to process it all. So, what do you think me and Tori are, sir? I asked, nervous of the answer. He drummed his fingers on the desk, then swallowed the last of his drink.
Trouble,
he muttered, and I stiffened. That's not fair. It's not like we asked for this.
What's not fair, Miss Vega, is that you and your sister now have a stronger claim to the throne of Solaria than the 4 celestial heirs who have been training their entire lives to rule.
He slammed his empty glass down on the table, and a jolt went through me.
When your parents died, the Celestial Council claimed the right to rule together. But now you have returned, it is our law that you be placed upon the throne if you can prove yourself strong enough to claim it. Which is just our damn luck.
He pinned me in place with a knife-sharp stare, and my heart fluttered madly at his words.
Do you have any idea of the dangerous times we're living in, Blue?
He demanded, and heat scalded my neck as he eyed my hair with disdain. No, but maybe if you'd tell me...
Tell you what? Even if I relayed the entire history of Solaria to you, do you really think that would be enough?
He released a dry laugh.
The world has already fallen out of balance, and now you and your sister have shown up to tip the scales even further into chaos. Whole families are turning up dead, powerful ones too. Your parents were the first, but not the last, and it's only a matter of time before...
He halted himself mid-sentence, seeming to think better of finishing his line of thought. Are you saying my birth parents were murdered? I asked in horror, the knowledge dripping through me like melting ice.
I'm not saying anything.
He cleared his throat, pouring himself another glass of bourbon. It might have been a Monday night, but if it was loosening his tongue, I sure as hell wasn't going to remind him of that.
Anyway,
he grunted,
your order will emerge sooner or later. Your power source will give you a clue as to what you are, so pay attention. Different orders' magic is replenished in specific ways. A werewolf draws their power from the moon, a Medusa draws from mirrors, and if you haven't guessed it yet, a vampire draws powers from others through their blood.
He flashed his fangs at me, and I shuddered. Well, I'm definitely not like you, I said coldly, and his brows pinched for a moment. He glanced down at his atlas, his lips tight as he tapped something on it.
If your magic swells, try to focus on what is in your immediate vicinity that you could be drawing power from. It could be the sun, the shade, a goddamn rainbow for all you know. Just keep your mind sharp. In the meantime, I'll sign you up to all of the order enhancement classes. Those who develop late tend to evolve under the influence of their kind.
A notification pinged on my atlas and I took it out, finding I'd been enrolled in several more lessons on my timetable. And tomorrow, I was due to hang out with the werewolves. My stomach dipped as I thought of Seth and his touchy-feely ways. That wasn't like me at all. There was no way I was one of them. I looked up, preparing to tell Orion that, but the glacial look on his face stopped me.
You and your sister won't pass the reckoning,
he said as if he was stating the truth.
The world doesn't need two ignorant girls in power right now. And as much as most of the celestial heirs piss me off to no end, at least they know how to deal with the nymph population.
Nymphs? I questioned, trying to ignore his insulting tone and latching on to the nugget of knowledge. He cursed, pushing the glass of bourbon away from him.
They're another race. Don't worry about it. You'll be long gone before they become relevant to your life.
I folded my arms, growing tired of his tone. Professor, I know you think I'm useless because I don't know anything about magic or fae, but I'm not stupid. I can learn. Isn't that what these classes are supposed to be for? Guiding me? Catching me up on everything I've missed out on? So at least give me the chance to prove myself. I wasn't quite sure where the determination had come from, but being dismissed so easily just rubbed me the wrong way. It wasn't like I thought I was fit to run a kingdom I'd never even heard of until 2 days ago, but I at least wanted to be given a chance to learn about my supposed birthright. His brows arched, and a soft smile brushed over his mouth.
I suppose that's only fair, Miss Vega, and as a Libra, I'm a sucker for fairness,
he said, and my mouth parted in surprise. So he is the Libra my horoscope mentioned this morning, and apparently being fair didn't extend to being nice. He glanced at a large brass clock on the wall.
We're almost out of time, and I have somewhere to be.
He rose from his seat.
I'll send reading materials on coercion to your atlas. You will have a lesson with me every Monday evening. I expect you to have a basic grasp on shields by our next one. There will be a test.
He smirked, and I suspected he was the kind of teacher who loved springing pop quizzes on his students. I got up, lifting my chin as I internally accepted the challenge with all my heart. I plan on getting an A. I headed to the door, and he whipped across the space in double the speed. My heart rushed at the sudden display of his powers. He wrenched the door open.
I don't do grades. With me, it's always pass or fail.
He snatched my atlas from my hand, tapping something on it, and signing off my lesson with a digital pen. He passed it back, then held the door wider, and I moved to step through it, surprised by the gentlemanly act. In a surge of movement, he passed me by, and the door swung closed in my face. Oh.